Check. Now that's working. You can move that around however that suits you.
Yeah.
But maybe you could tell me your name and.
My name is Bennett Coles, B-A-N-N-A-T-C-O-L-E-S.
That's A-T, right?
B-E-N-N-A-T. No, ain't no E-N. It's B-A-N-N-A-T.
All right. And then your last name?
C-O-L-E-S.
All right. And when and where were you born?
I'm born June 6, 1928, up on the peaks of water up here. That's where I was born then. I pulled that apple orchard up here.
So, must have been a different house, obviously.
Well, yeah, well, it was a different house. Yeah, we didn't know that. It was called old man Mac Key House.
Well, tell me about that house. Where was that house located?
Located up above Peaks of Water Orchard, up in Mr. Groves, mm-hmm. and turned and go back. But of course, it's been sold, and there's all kind of houses up in there. But that's where I call it old Key House. That's where I was born there.
Now, would you consider that part of the Peaks of Otter or part of the Peaksville community or what?
Well, that is a part of the Peaks of Otter because it's right under the peaks. See, that's got to be part of the Peaks of Otter because it's close to the Peaks of Otter than anything else around. So it's right up on top of the peaks.
Here, I gotta maybe it's a little bit of a game or something, but tell me, what are some of your first memories growing up there?
Oh, my first memory of growing up there, when I was just a little boy, see my grandmother, while I was telling you about Betty Owen, she was living above us in a house. And when it sold this last time, she, her sister's son bought it, Albert Rucker. You might have seen that in there. See, he owned it, and then he sold it to, I think Mr. Putney bought it. Well, Kyle stepped to live up there in the house where we used to live, in old Key House. His mother bought that after we moved him up there. See, we didn't own that. We was just renting that. That was just a rented house.
And so go on, tell me about those memories that you have at that time.
See, in that time, see, we just, you know, we didn't have none but just wood stove and things in the old house. And we just go from house to house and milk cows and pound out butter and stuff. That was the only thing you done. Had eggs and things, you know, to go to the stove with and things. That's just weird work.
And, well, tell me about your family, you know.
Well, all my family was. All of us lived up there. See, and then we moved from up there. My daddy bought a place up on which is called Suck Mountain. We stayed up there. And that's where we lived until we moved down here. And then all my family, see, someone went to work in town, and rubber plant, and different places around. And then, well, all my family did now, but it was 5 boys and 3 girls. But all of them passed now, but me and my older sister, Ella Moser, down here, she's the oldest one of us. It was 8 of us.
And your father's name, what was your father's name?
Reuben Cole.
And your mom?
Elizabeth Blake. She was a Blake before she married him. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alfred Blake's daughter.
Well, I'm just struck that it seems like there was a big black community living here at that time. Was it all black folks living here? Was it black and white, or how was it back then?
What, right through here?
Yeah.
No, it was black and white. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, let me see, Babe Brawler, he lived up there. See, old man, called a man Acre, he had an orchard up there. And all of us worked, they worked back and forth for him. See, there was, on that place, let me see, Babe Brawler, Wide Cole, they lived on old man Acre's place. And John Stepter, he lived over on the right across the house up across from him. It was, you know, about 6 or 7 houses of black people lived up there.
And you?
Well, then Candleman Man Joy Sounders and Ella Sounders, see, they were right up on the mountain, right on the peaks right up above us, see.
Well, yeah, before I forget about it, maybe you could tell me about Lon Swain.
Well, I was going to tell you, Lon Swain lived up there on that mountain. And she married and his son went to school down at Antioch.
Lon Swain's son that went to Antioch?
Yeah, he come off the mountain. That's all of them up there. That's the only school they had to go to. Just a little one-room school up here at the church. That's all that was there.
And so that, go on.
He had to walk from the top of that mountain, see down into the school. That's a boat. That's about 3 miles, 4 miles down here. Well, you've been up on that mountain from down by down the church. Well, yeah, about 3 miles, eh?
Good, 3 miles, yeah.
I said 3 miles.
And steep, too.
Oh, yeah. He had to walk, rain or snow, walk down and walk back.
And now that was Lon Swain's children that would go to school there, or Lon Swain himself?
No, old man Lon Swain, he didn't, his children went to school there. But see, old man George Sounders and Ella Sounders, now their children went to school there in Antioch. See, Catherine and all of them, she went to school there in Antioch.
Now, who's Ella Sounders?
That's a man George Sounders' brother. See, when he sold up, when he got that picture bill, he moved me and went to Manita. He bought a place over in Manita.
Mm-hmm. Where's that? I don't know where that is. Over on
221 over on, just before you get over to the lake, Smith Mountain Lake. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe while we're on that, you could tell me about, you said now, George Sounders, his father was from up there as well. Is that right?
Old man George Sounders, brother?
I mean, his father.
I don't know about old man George Sounders' father. I never knew his father. Uh-huh. I just know old man George Sounders and Ella Sounders. I don't know about them. Uh-huh.
And then the brothers, George Sounders' brother's name, what was it again?
Ella Sounders.
Elder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you knew George Sounders, is that right?
Oh, yeah, I knew Mr. George Sounders. I knew him well.
Tell me about him.
Well, there's nothing I can tell you, but I mean, there's only he used to come to church and thing down here, and he used to work up on that mountain, you know, the best way he made his living at, working up around Mr. John Vaughn's and them, you know, people's up there just day working and stuff. That's all you had back then to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, maybe you could speak more about the Vaughns.
Mr. John Vaughn? Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. John Vaughn, he just worked, you know, just the people's around him, like a man Ellen and them, they worked for him. And then he had a candy factory down there. They worked in the candy factory for him, you know, canned tomatoes and stuff. That's what he done. And I had a little apple orchard. See, old man Acre, he had an apple orchard over there. See, raised the foot of the mountain. And all them my people, George Sound, all them, they worked down on that apple orchard down there. Cutting them with a mowing blade, mowing them, putting them apple trees and things, see, in the summertime, getting ready for the apples for the fall.
So they were the ones who were like, doing all the physical labor there at that.
They were just doing all the labor. Doing all the labor. That's what they were doing.
And they were kind of like living off on one side of the orchard. And but, you know, one of the things that's interesting about that Saunders place, Saunders, is if you go up there, have you been up to that house? Do you remember going up to that house when they were still living there?
Yes, sir. I used to walk them down from where we used to live. We used to walk up through them woods up at that house.
Well, describe it. You know, I know this is tough, but maybe you could describe one day that you remember going up there, like maybe a specific thing that you were doing, and maybe it was delivering something, or, you know, can you remember one day going there?
No, I know. We used to just walk up there and play with his boys and things, you know. You know, go up there, his wife's name is Betty Sound. We'd go up there and eating things on Sunday and then play back down the mountain. That's the only thing we, you know. Just played back and forth, that's all.
So you would go up to eat?
Yeah, eat on Sundays and things, you know, that's all.
At their home?
At their home, that's what. Yes, I ate at their home many times on that house.
All right, describe, you know, right now the house is pretty much in ruins, you know, it's kind of fallen down pretty much.
I imagine it is, because I ain't seen that house for I don't know when, for years.
Yeah. Describe it to me. You know, what was the inside like? Did they have pictures on the wall? What was the furniture like? What was it like on the inside?
Well, see, it was just a log cabin. Yeah, they had some pictures on the wall, you know, and things. But I don't forget what you know, they had pictures of their family and things on the wall. But you know, not no pictures like they got now on the wall and thing. All of them had pictures of their family, you know, their brothers and sisters, children and thing.
I'm starting to picture it. Yeah.
But I don't know if any of them, you know, in the house. But I don't know if the house is still up there.
It's up there.
Is it?
Yeah.
The log's still there?
Yeah, it's there. We could go up. I don't know if you could.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't want to go up there. grew up, it had to be mighty cold when I grew up because there's rattlesnakes and copperheads up there, and I know I'm not going up there.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to say, when last time we went up there, we were afraid that there might be a bear denning in the basement. You
that,
know? Like a canning room underneath it or something.
Yeah, it's canning. Are you all scared to go down there?
Well, I mean, there was a door open on the side, and it looked like there might have been some kind of a big animal living in there.
Some know? Going back and forth, you know, it might have been. I know Rudolph wasn't scared, though.
Well, he was trying not to pretend like he wasn't scared. Because but he didn't want to go into it either. You know?
Well, he's a bear hunter, though. He ain't scared. I don't imagine.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't go up there. I wouldn't go down there for nothing. I bet just rattlesnakes in that place about living in there like I don't know what.
Yeah, I'm sure you. Yeah. But what about that? I mean, I guess, so how old would you have been then when you were going up there?
Oh, when I was going about 7 or 8. Something like that, 9, 10, you know, little boys go to school and things and play them down because he had a son, same age as my oldest brother, and we'd play together. You know, they was a little older than I was, but we'd go together them then. But now, Catherine and myself, she'd meet up at the same age.
And so, yeah, she told me a funny story about how there was a rock. You can still see that rock.
Sort of steep rock.
Yeah, right on outside the
House.
Outside the house. And she said that was her little place where she would sit, you know.
Sitting in the sun.
And also if her mom had been mean to her or beat her, you know, whipped her, what have you, she would go over there and, you know, feel sorry for herself on that rock.
Well, see now, when George Sanders' brother, he didn't have but three kids. That was Robert Sanders, Corrine, and Gladys. And he got one daughter living, Gladys, she's living in Roanoke.
Was that right?
Mm-hmm. Gladys, about 83, 84 years old.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what her last name might be now?
She still goes to the Sonos, but she ain't married.
Do you ever speak with her? Or?
I haven't seen Gladys. It's been 5 or 6 years.
What about, you know, it makes me think about that, about the Antioch Church. Do you have an annual homecoming at that church, or is there?
Yes, sir. Did the fourth Sunday in September, every year.
Is that right?
We have an annual homecoming.
So a lot of those people might come back then, huh?
Well, you know, it used to be a lot of them come in from Curvin and different places, but they don't, all of them died out. Don't many people come back like the homecoming. From Washington, Philadelphia, places used to come there, you know, back for homecoming. All them people are gone. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's you know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I'll just say it seems like some of the people in this community are, it's kind of like the old people that are left here, you know, not so many of the young people are left here.
Well, it's very few there, older people left here. I mean, you know, just from my age, well, Rudolph, Richard's dad is the oldest thing left in here now. And he's down sick in the bed and thing.
Right.
But he's the only one left. Him and Kyle Stepton is the oldest two people left here in the Antioch Church.
Kyle Stepton. Now, where does he live?
Well, Kyle's up here in the long term, but he lived right below the church up here. His dad was named John Stepton.
I see. Oh, man, it's such a rich history, you know. I'm just struck by well, talk more about that cannery. You know, maybe you could describe that cannery. You must have gone to that many a time.
Well, see, he just had a cannery there, see. And back in them days, you know, you had the tin can, you know, what you call them, 2 ounce, what, number two. Mm-hmm. Them number two tin can.
You big had, ones, right?
Yeah. No, that's about that tall. That's a little number. And see, when you catch your tomatoes out, you had to fire their boiler with wood. And then they had to scald them and bring them around, and the women, they peeled them and packed them on there, and then in their house. Mm-hmm. They had to scald them and everything and pack them. Mm-hmm. Had to get up the steam, had to use a lot of wood to keep steam up for that.
I understand. And must have been a lot of labor getting that wood out.
Well, it was a lot of labor. They cut all wood, you know, all the fall, you know, and once you have to get ready for the, you start around the 1st of September, no? Around the last August till last September, peeling tomatoes, see? Mm-hmm. And after that, it was over. That's why the women went and things, see, they made a little money out there. They had to buckets. See, they give it to my little lollies, you know, little brown thing. Every time they peel one, get that bucket full before they dump it. When they went, they put a lolly over in there. Mm. I think it was 2 cents a bucket. 2 cents of one of them lollies was 2 cents.
And that's how you would get paid, is by filling up
those. By filling them on buckets.
Mm-hmm. And so then the women were peeling the tomatoes.
They were peeling the tomatoes, and the men had a pan, so you can't mix it around, dumping it in the bucket after them peel and scald, after you scald. It wasn't nothing but hard work.
I can see that. What became of that? When did that cannery go out of business?
Oh, God, that cannery been out of business for a long time. For a long, long time. It's been out of business 30, 40 years, I reckon.
Well, talking about the tomatoes gets me thinking about George Saunders' farm up there. And did he grow tomatoes on that farm?
Yes, sir, they grow tomatoes. It might not look like it, but they grow tomatoes on that mountain. Some of the prettiest tomatoes you ever seen. You wonder how they worked them, but I reckon you got weeds at them on rocks and things grow pretty tomatoes on that mountain.
He must have fertilized it somehow, because, I mean...
Well, back in them days, didn't nobody fertilize nothing too much.
Not even manure?
If you had stock, you know, you put a little manure on your garden and thing, but didn't nobody fertilize stuff like they do now? The corn or nothing?
Yeah, because when you go to that, it's almost like the man terraced out some of the land there. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that when you visited up there, that it was that the land was like terraced out?
Well, it's just, you know, why he worked it with his horse and thing, that was all. Mm-hmm. See, when that land was... When it was cleaned up, you know, there was nothing on it. It looked different than it did with them in the wood.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it looks a whole lot different than it did. But see, you can see that house, you know, from the road then, you know, well, it went up there, see? But now, yeah, I went up there and looked, but I can see where the road going, but you came down and see where the house is up there now.
Yeah. Well, that's what they want to do. I mean, the parkway, the Blue Ridge Parkway, it moves slowly, you know. Mm-hmm. But what they want to do is put a little parking area there, you know.
That where the house is?
And then you could go in and look at that house, you know. And you know, I mean, one of the purposes then would be to point out that black people have lived up in that mountain just as long as white people have, essentially, you know.
I think white people lived up in that mountain longer than the white people did.
Is that right? Go on, talk about that.
I see the white people, they went and moved off the mountain, and all the black people, they stayed up there, see?
Say that again, I didn't understand you.
See, the white people, they moved off, you know, to different places. I think some of the Johnson used to live up there. Mm-hmm. And all of them moved off, and Mr. Ellis Sound, George Sound, and all them, see, they stayed on up there. That's the only place they had to go, and, you know, work and things, so they just didn't have nowhere to go, so they just stayed down and worked.
Now, what about that Mons Hotel? Do you know anything about that? Do you remember that? I mean, was that...
I remember it, but I don't know, you know, too much about it. About it.
I mean, that was your time, though, that it was...
Yeah, my time, it was still up there. I was small, but it was still up there.
Now, describe again, you were telling me before, and I didn't have the recorder on, but you were mentioning about a house that was just down below George Sanders' house.
See... That house down, just down below Mr. George Sanders' house, is his brother, Ella Sanders. Just as you go up the mountain, before you get to that steep curve, you know, I know you've seen it, it's a log house, it's built around it. But they still got the log part there. You can see it. But that's old man Ella Sanders, that's his brother's house.
Now, is that owned by somebody else now? Is that right? Or?
Yes, owned by somebody else now. Who it is, I don't know. Somebody bought it, I reckon. I see houses around there. Who it is, I don't know.
So that's why I was thinking that...
And see, Mr. John Vaughn's place was down below Mr. Ellison's place. You got to that before you got up out to Ellison's place.
Now, would you access that along this road here that goes in front of your house and in front of the Antioch Church, or was it a different road that you would take up there?
It's a different road. That road, see, we're coming 43, coming North Side Supply. Uh-huh. That's the road went up out, but it was a dirt road. Uh-huh. See, they hadn't hard service or nothing. See, there's so many curving gravel, just among sharp curving things, see. Well, that was just a gravel road for years up there. When the Mons Hotel up there was a gravel road. That road wasn't hard service up there.
So, but then how would the kids come down to this school and church down here Well, see, they wouldn't go all the way down there and then come back.
Oh, no.
Up,
well, they didn't have no car, none. They walked.
Right. So, I mean, where would the, I guess, the, so they just came on a trail, I guess, is what it was.
They came on a trail down through the woods down there. I mean, they just a path that's like, well, me down, you know, just like a bypass or something, you know, that's all. Mm-hmm. They didn't have no road or nothing. Mm-hmm. Didn't have nothing to ride. Mm-hmm. So they just walked down and walked back.
Mm-hmm. Now, what, do you know what
Swain
did for a living up there?
He just farmed, I reckon. That's all I knew. Mm-hmm. That's all that, well, that's all any of them done about it, because he didn't have nothing else to do.
And then Betty, Mabel, was...
Well, she just worked, you know, from in the house with Mr. John Vaughn, and we just around for people, you know, just day work. Uh-huh. Wash clothes and things back at the end, you know, and things.
But now you were mentioning that Mabel Swain is the daughter of George
Sounds. George Sounds, that's right. That's right, Miss George Sounds' daughter.
So, well... You know, I'm just interested to make all that connection with the Blue Ridge Parkway, but let's talk about you as well. I don't want to just tell me about your life, I guess, you know. You were mentioning growing up, being born up there, and then moved to a house on Suckmouth.
Yeah, moved to a house on, I was born up there, but as I grew up, see, I went to school when I was a little boy for a while, and then I went, most of my time, I went to school off Suckmouth. And then it was a rock mines up there. That's where I first started working at, a rock mine for Buck Nance. Mm-hmm. When I first started working. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I first started working, you believe nothing, it was $18 a week.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering, you know, when you said that your father bought land up there, you know, I thought, well, boy, I bet land was a lot cheaper back then.
Oh, Lord. I don't think it was. It might have been $900 or. Might have been $1,000, I don't know. It wasn't much.
So what was your job in this rock mine?
Well, I used to drive a... They had a pan for loading them, see? What we call a load lunger. Put them in, I'd load that, and then we'd all go back and load them pans and come bring it out again. Dump it in the truck and then take them down there, take it up above Bedford and crush it. Buck Nance, he was running. Buck and Wilbur Nance from down Forest, they was getting their stuff out. We was working for them. $18 and a half a week.
Now, what
10 hours a day.
Yeah, I was gonna. Now it's hard to know. You know, like what could you buy for $18 back then?
Oh Lord, I don't know. Well,
of course, everything was cheaper back then.
It was cheap, man. You could buy a whole lot of stuff. Clothes and everything was cheap. Gas. And then as stuff started going up, we was. Worked down there when I went to Fishing there. We thought we were going to get rich. But everything else got going on up from it. Then when I went to Dollar Hour, we know we had it made. Then that's $8 a day.
But then you find out that everything else...
Everything else was just going and going and going. That's just the way it was. That's the way the boys then got to.
Well, now, I'm thinking you must...
You know,
go on.
For a whole year's work... About $1,300 a year. Mm-hmm. Work a whole year for that. Mm-hmm. And then a little income taxes started coming out of that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Started coming out of that.
Yeah.
Because I guess, you know, I mean...
Back in, when the income tax started, 38, somewhere along there.
That's funny to think that you're thinking about before income taxes, you know, and...
Well, it didn't take much out. Maybe a dollar and a half or something like that. It wasn't much.
Well, now I'm trying to think about how old you would have been when World War II came around, and probably pretty young still.
Well, when I first went to work in the mines, I was about 17 years old. Uh-huh. And World War II, see, that was, wasn't 42?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. World War II, I think I was 18, 17, something like that.
Uh-huh. But did you go?
No, I didn't go. I never did go.
How about those, and you're not old enough to remember that CC camp.
The CC camp down there? That's what put that road across there. Of course, that mountain was CC.
Which road are you talking about?
It's up in Antioch Church. Mm-hmm. See, you take a right and go up on a switch called Suck Mountain. Mm-hmm. CC boys, the CC put that camp cross up. She said, people come out of the service, they didn't have no jobs, nothing, see. And they put that CC camp down there and paid them some money. That's where they get work from, put that road cross there.
Mm-hmm. So you started working in this rock mine
17 years old.
And how long did you stay there?
Oh, God, I stayed about 16 years already. I left around then. I went to the road plane when I was 32. Yeah, I stayed there 15, 16 years. Because it wasn't, you know, wasn't nothing else. Then I went to work Rubber Tex in Bedford. Now, that's where I retired from. I stayed there about 31 years and a half.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
And had a family?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I had a family. I married in 1955, October 22nd. I've been married 51 years, soon be 52 years.
Oh, congratulations. You made 50.
Yes, sir.
That's a big one. Not everybody makes that, you know?
Yes, sir. I made the 50. Soon, in October, it'll be 52 years.
Well, congratulations on that. Well, tell me about this house where we're sitting right now.
Well, for nobody, old man, like I tell you, old man John Welsh built his house. He had a sawmill, and he built his house himself for his daddy. I mean, Cliff Wells. I mean, Cliff Wells living. That's where my daddy bought it from, man, Cliff Wells.
Mm-hmm. And so that was, it was your father that he came off of?
Came off of Sugar Mountain down here.
To get this house right mm-hmm. here. And now, what was your father doing at that time?
Well, he just raised tomatoes. Well, we cut pulpwood and stuff like that, you know. Logs and stuff like that and sold, you know. I had a truck log to, you know, take the sawmill and stuff.
Now, how did the, you know, speaking of the tomatoes again, it seems like the tomato farming was just a huge force around here at that time.
That's the only thing people had to make money out of was tomatoes.
Yeah.
And they got paid, see, I believe it was November. When everybody got paid in November, that's they had a big check. I thought it was a big check there. They go to town, everybody get the beans and all that stuff for winter. That's how they made it through the winter.
Now, people were driving automobiles then, or?
Wagon and a horse.
Wagon, yeah.
Yeah, you had a horse ride, go mid of town and then a wagon. And these roads down through, all of them was dirt roads. There wasn't no horse, there was road.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different picture, you know. You think, yeah. Okay, well, there's that cash money that you're going to get. Basically, that's the cash money you're going to get for the year then, is that?
That was the year. The year's work. Unless, you know, some of these white people, some, you know, hire you on your farm or something, you know, to help them out, you know, in the random barns or fence or something for them, you know.
But that was going to be your major
job. That was your major cash.
And you're going to get in a wagon and
go to town and get your stuff and bring it back. That's how they get the clothes and everything for another year. We didn't get one pair of shoes a year. We wore them shoes out of a shame on you. You didn't get no more until...
See, that's when people start walking barefoot, you know, so they've got shoes, but they don't want to hurt their shoes, you know.
You can believe it or not, when it turned warm in March, people put them out, turn their toes on and started walking barefoot. I mean, kids, the old people did. But now kids don't really, they can't walk out on the ground barefoot.
No. Yeah, that's funny. Well, this house it's a beautiful house, you know, and it's real, I mean, it's well kept up and everything. It's great to see one of these old houses still, you know, serving its purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I think my daddy did this show with me, I believe it was 59 or 60, I believe. I've been living here, it's been mine ever since. I mean, he did it over to me then, 60, I believe.
Well, now, do you ever... have a memory of going up to this place called Big Spring. I think it's called Big Spring. It's on the way up to, you know, where the Mons Hotel would have been, and kind of, I think it's on the side of the old road, and it's now there's a picnic area up there for the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Is it Big Spring?
I think that's what it's called, but I could be wrong.
Let me see, it's a spring up. I don't know what you call it, Big Spring. I know, but that road is They cut that spring out, didn't they?
Mm. People, I just read, and I don't know where I'm getting this, but it seems like I've read or people have talked about how there used to be like picnics at Big Spring, that they would go up, that people would go up there and have picnics out there, but maybe I'm on the wrong track.
It might have been, you know, when I was smaller, Big Spring, but I don't remember going about to the Big Spring.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were young, would you go all the way up into the peaks of Otter, or just up to the
Just went up out to the Sandlot. See, that was all the way up to the peaks about where that tail was at. See, I was just a dirt road went up there. And people look at me and laugh at me. I've been living under here all my life. Never have been up on the peaks, over the top of the peaks.
Is that right?
Yeah, looking at it, but now going up on top of that mountain, I never have been up there.
And so it wasn't particularly a thing that people would do around here.
Well, we didn't pay no attention to it. Yeah. You take the peaks, your flat top, see, and then apple orchard. But you can believe it or not, the apple orchard mountain is taller than the peaks of the flat top. Mm-hmm. See, the apple's base is on the apple orchard back there, mm-hmm. on skyline.
Yeah, and they must have put it on there because it's the tallest one, too, you know.
Yeah. It don't look like it, but it is, though. And you might not believe it. You know, Shop Top taller than the peaks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've had some kids, I guess?
Got six. Five girls and one boy. Mm-hmm. All of them is married and away. Nobody is, just me and my wife.
And they all moved away from Bedford and everything?
Or? Well, some in Lynchburg. Two in Lynchburg. One lived down to Hurt. And then my son, he lived in Bedford. My daughter, she lived down in Bellevue. Then one lived down in Forest.
Well, let me ask you about the church a little bit. And, you know, tomorrow, maybe you could tell me what to expect tomorrow. Because tomorrow, Reverend Taylor told me that there's going to be a communion.
Well, we have communion, you know, after service, you know. We just have a communion every full Sunday.
I'm sorry to be ignorant, but what is communion?
You know, you just give communion after that, just a crack and wine you take out. After that, that's just all. It don't take no time to do. That's just something they always do. Mm-hmm. What you call communion after service.
Maybe you could tell me, how does a normal service go at the Antioch Church?
Well, the normal service, he started at 11 o'clock. If we get started, like most time he had by one, anyhow. Might be a little bit after one. If you don't have communion, you know, just regular service, you know, after you stop preaching, we got some right around 1 o'clock.
And the service itself, what happens first in the service, and what happens second, and what happens third?
Well, see, most of the time, you know, you have you testify, you get them testifying things, and then he's, you know, opening up the service with prayer and scripture reading.
Singing?
Yeah, they are singing. Tomorrow they'll be the young adult choir. They won't sing tomorrow. What we call the old senior choir, they'll sing tomorrow. That'd be my sister and them down here. She's 85 years old, so you know what that'd be. It's called a senior choir.
And then, now how long has Pastor Taylor been with you all?
About 2 years and a half. He came back in from Philadelphia. Pastor Taylor, he's a good speaker, though. I mean, you'll find out for yourself when you get there. But his wife, she won't be playing tomorrow. She was there with his wife, and she can play a piano and sing, too. I mean, all the choirs is good. But, I mean, you know, she's a little bit better than what I said, you know, a little bit different, better than they is, because she's a younger person, and she can play better than the piano player they have. But all of his good music doing good.
Now that Antioch Church, the Antioch School, it's not there anymore.
No. That school been down, I reckon, over 20 years, 30 years. See, Antioch Church built, that was just when they first started going to church built, that was just a little wooden church, you know. Just a frame church. You see, a brick is around the old frame part. The old church is sitting there. But now this shell's around there. The brick part is around there. They bricked it in 69, I believe. 1969, put that brick around that church. And the fellowship hall back at that long part, that's been 30 years already. No, it's been 30 years because Robin Hankins put that. That's been about 25 years. I've done a lot of work to that church from where it used to come from. See, you just had a wood, two wood stoves. He one set up to the front of the church and one at the back. fresh is just my long tin heaters, you know, like that. Then we got coal heaters, coal stoves, and put in there. And you tell me just old, you know, wooden benches. And got up next to the front. I seen a preacher preaching out with overcoats on. In the wintertime.
I can well imagine that, yeah.
Yes, sir.
At least until everybody got warmed up, you know.
Everybody got, the service just about over when everybody got warmed up.
Then they don't want to leave.
No. Now, see, you got, well, we got gas furnace in the church now. Air conditioned. They didn't have no air conditioning in the church back then. Raise your windows. Didn't even have screens in the windows. Raise your window and let the air come on in.
Well, it strikes me that that you're kind of like a somebody who's right at the edge of when things changed around here, you know? Like, because you grew up, I mean, you were born in the era when everybody farmed or sharecropped or sharecropped or worked for the orchards and the canneries.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the biggest thing my dad had done was that sharecrop with people, you know. You take that land down the road north side, we used to ride horses off that mountain all the way down there and plow all them fields down with horses. We didn't have no tractor now, so we had about three teams, six horses. Each one of us ride a team down. I seen them stay down the sun down and ride back.
Well, what can you tell me about your father, you know, as a person or as a man, you know, what?
Well, he was just a man, he just sharecropped, you know, with people. That's all he had to do. And then he went to church to be at Antioch. Then he made a digging, see, and then that's, we cut pulpwood logs off his land and stuff like that. That's how we made our living.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just strikes me that he must have been, I guess like everybody that could survive in that period.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He'd be a hard man, you know?
Well, he worked from sun up to sun down. Once this thing, you didn't have to put no clock on to see what time it was. The women folk, they had a dunner bell. See, your bell, you rang, you know, and done. Everybody in the ring, they didn't know it was time to come in and eat. You eat, and then you go back to the field and stay out there somewhere then. That was 12, 15 hours a day.
And your mom, maybe you could describe her for me.
Well, my mom, she just stayed at the house, you know, and what I call taking care of our clothes, putting whatever we tie up. Dave, she'd fix it, put another patch over top and kept it back. And work something down there. In the fall, yeah, she would work in the canning factory, peel tomatoes, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing she had to do. Mm-hmm. But she stayed at home and take care of the house, cook. Mm-hmm. Well, she had three meals a day. She had to get breakfast, we called dinner and supper. Three meals a day she had to cook for. Mm-hmm.
Now, did she keep a garden, or did your dad keep a garden? Or?
Oh, yeah, we had a good garden. That's how we made, you know, you raise your stuff and can it up for another year. You string beans, tomatoes, corn, all that stuff was canned up. You raise your own hog, can that meat up. Of course, you had your ham and shoulder and side meat. You didn't have to go to the store. Only thing you had to go to the store to get back out then was sugar and coffee and kerosene for the lamps. Everything else you raised, your own chickens, your own eggs and everything.
And who was doing the work on the garden and on the animals, you know?
Well, we'd do it, you know. That's, you know, do it when you do this year, we raise our own garden. We weren't working in the garden, we go to the field. That's just what we had done. Well, after we got it, you know, I've got it grown, my mother, she'd go out there, you know, and pick what she needs out of it, you know, and stuff. What you need for the cook for us to eat and stuff. You raise your own wheat, you raise your own corn. Had a mill, so you go and grind that stuff.
Yeah, what mill would you all go to?
Go down to Kelso Mill.
You'd go that far? You know.
That far, but old man John Miller had a mill, what you call a mill road down here? That old mill is still, well, there's a house down, that's right across there, that's the mill we used to go, old Miller Mill.
Now, did you go to school at the Antioch Church, the Antioch School as well?
Right there, I guess the only school we had to go to.
Now, tell me about that school. Well, first off, what it looked like?
It was just a weatherboard school. And see, the only thing you went to there was 7th grade. How did you win?
Did you make it all the way?
No, I didn't go to 4th and 5th grade. Now, I'd come out, well, my dad pulled me out, I'd come out and go to work. That's just the way it was.
And did they have it, were they let off school so that you all could work, or... How did they, I mean, was the school year? How would
happen? Well, back out then, you know, and the biggest time you went to school was in the wintertime. You know, when you couldn't do nothing else. I mean, the boys, but then the girls, they went biggest portion of the time, you know. But in the spring of the year, when it came out, the boys, they, when the woman was big enough to work, they come out and started playing, helping the daddy play and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, sometimes I wonder about school, like, you know, maybe there's almost too much schooling in a sense, you know, because, I mean, if you're going to work for a living, it's almost like you don't need that. I mean, you need to learn to read and write, but after that, you know.
Well, I don't know. School children now, though, they don't want to go to school. I got to get up, catch the bus right at the road, and then don't want to go to school. We had to walk 3 and 4 miles to school and walk back. In the cold, in the snow and rain and snow and stuff. And then they're going to fund the average children from my age on up to, you know, I believe the 60s, I believe, when the buses and things started coming around and taking them into bed. Didn't have nothing but a school like it's just 7th grade, how as it went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess where would you go after that? You'd have to go to a city like Lynchburg, I guess.
Come to Lynchburg or Bedford.
Yeah.
And you had to have a bus to carry because you didn't have no car, nothing to carry.
Yeah. And so you'd have to have money to, you couldn't come back and forth, so you'd probably have to board or something like
have
that.
Have to board if you went. And you didn't have the money to pay for the board and things, so what is it for you to do?
Yeah.
Take what you got and go and live with it.
Yeah.
Well, but I sit down and look at them and say, well, I might not have went no further, but I came out and I make a good living and everything, just like the rest of them do. Mm-hmm. I got by with it.
So now, tell me about the teacher. Was there one teacher?
One teacher.
Who was it?
Well, let me see. It was Miss Seymour and Reverend Brown. Well, Miss Susie Gibson, she'd come out. She was the, you know, go around to school and see what you need and things. She was with the supervisor and things.
Now, were the teachers black or white at that school?
All of them was black. I never went to school on no white teacher, no. Everything went to school, you know, that's one race went to school. That's all black went to school up here and all white went to their school. That's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. Now, the white children, they went to town. There was a bus come down through it, but they didn't pick us up. That's just the way it was.
Is that how it was?
Yeah, you can't believe it, but that's just the way it was. Uh-huh. I mean, if you look at it now, you say, I can't believe it, but that's just the way it was. And people, the way you were raised, didn't pay no attention to it. Mm-hmm. Just the way you were raised, I reckon, just what you get used to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Wright was interesting that way. He was saying, now I wonder how you feel about it, but he said he didn't feel like things had changed that much in terms of, you know, race relations or what do you want to call it, you know, people, you know, between black and white people. But it sounds like you would say that things have changed a lot.
Well, I mean, just for schools and things. Mm-hmm. But first, for going to one of those houses and things, it ain't changed. You could go to anybody than you do now. You didn't go to no white person house around through here. I mean, the black, if you didn't get something to eat, when they was eating, you eat. Mm-hmm. You go to the house any time of night, anything you want, if they had, they'd get up and they'd go and, you know, see everything. Mm-hmm. And if we was walking to town, somebody had a car or something, they'd pick you up and carry you. I don't care if it was the women or the men, they'd pick you up and carry you. You didn't thought nothing about it.
Sounds like a neighborliness.
It's just a neighborliness. That's just where it was. Everybody knew one though. You could leave your house unlocked. Nobody, you know, you didn't have to lock your house up like you do now. One scene after another, didn't pay no attention to it. You know, hear nobody breaking in or, you know, you left your stuff laying. Why were you leaving there? That's what it'd be when you went back. You didn't have to worry about it.
So, but how about now then?
Oh, you lay your stuff down now. You get away from my house, make it be gone before you get to the road. Is that much different? And back then, I don't think it was. But one state trooper, and one deputy sheriff, I reckon. Old man Jim Marshall, the only deputy sheriff I knew back then. You know, when old man spinning then. That's what I forgot him. There's only 2 deputy sheriffs I knew back out there. Now it's a deputy sheriff bill everywhere, but still they ride right by them or something. I don't know. The thing just didn't change.
You know, now somebody like you, you've lived a full life and everything, and but what do you think about, you know, I was, I'll tell you, I'll just be honest with you, you know, sometimes I look at the way things are today and I worry about the way the world is going, you know, and, but now you've lived longer than I have, you know, and you've seen that, and you've seen, particularly you lived that farming life when you were a kid, you know,
that's right.
But then you've lived now, and then you also lived the life in a factory,
Yep.
And now, whatever we're going to now, all those factories are closing, they're going to other countries, you know, like, what's your take on the state of the world these days?
To me, the state of the world doesn't get in a bad shape.
Is that right?
I mean, that's just my opinion. I just think it. From what it did look like, you know, when we come along, and jobs getting to be jobs right here. See, it used to be when you come along, if you could use a pick and a shovel, you say you had a job. But now, see, you don't use that no more. You got to have, you said school, you got to have the school and you put to learn how to run that machinery and stuff. How to read them my mom and things sitting up there. You don't find nobody digging buildings, all these building things with no pick and shovel digging the foundation thing. All that's done away with. Which is a good thing. It saves a whole lot of manpower, but because there's a lot of jobs.
Yeah, it reminds me of that cannery you were talking about. You said it was, you know, ain't nothing but that work.
Nothing but that work. But it was work.
You know.
It was work. Back on then, they worked, and people were glad to get it. Yeah, they was glad to get that and get it for their...
Well, I just, you know, I teach in a university myself, you know, and so I'm exposed to... I call young kids, you know, they're 18, they think they're adults, you know, but they're 18, and it seems like the one thing that they look for is just comfort.
That's all they look for.
You know, it's like ease, you know, everything has to be easy, and they think, well, if it's easy, you know, it has to be good, but at the same time, you know, it seems like maybe you lose something when you lose that focus on hard work, you know what I mean? It's like, there's something about working for it that's...
Well, I tell you, 18, 19, 20 years old, they don't know how to work for it. You know the reason why? Because the parents give it to them. You take a child 18 to 20 years old, they don't never done a day's work. They go to school, don't come around, they're 20 or something like that, 18. And they never have... They lay down in the morning, get up, and let the parents go ahead and buy them a car, give them the car, give them the money to put the gas in. Now, what they get to work for? Buy their own clothes? We come along, we had to work for our clothes. When we get it, we appreciate it.
And then it was, you know, work for a week to get some clothes.
You work for a week. And then when you got a dollar in your pocket, man, that dollar looked like I don't look like a mountain.
Yeah, things have changed. You know, I mean, I try to get my students to see... Because, you know, and it's hard for me even because I grew up, you know, after the farming way of life was already on the way out.
All
you know?
The way out.
After World War II, it started going out in the United
started
States.
Started going out. But you take, how you going, my children, I can't get them to see it. I mean, I can explain to them. But they look at me, Dad, I can't believe it. See, they never was born to never see it. That's just like, well, that's a lot of things going on there. I see it. And I can't hardly believe it's done changed like that. It's just hard to believe, but it is.
Like what?
I mean, just it's like children like your wife. We got your someone make $12, $14, $20 an hour. I can't believe people making $20 an hour and can't make it. I mean, it's you know, just said $20 an hour now. And yeah, I worked all the week for $18 an hour. And yet, of a week, they make $1,200, bring home $1,000, $1,200 a week. Yeah, I worked the whole year and didn't make $1,200, $1,300. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what makes you can't really believe it. Yeah. You can't picture it. That's just what it is. Mm-hmm. Well, but we live happy with it.
Well, that's one of the things I think that it seems to me that people have lost track of the human values, you know, a little bit, you know.
They done lost it a whole lot. They done lost it a whole lot. Yes, another little bit. I mean, tell it just like it is. The white and black both done lost it a whole lot. I mean, see, you were not raised up to it. That's what it is. And you think everything got to be, you can't find nobody now I'm going to work for $7, $8 an hour. I mean, they say I can't make it.
Well, of course, there's immigrants coming in from Mexico that will.
Yeah, but you know, the amount of people come from Mexico and things, the amount of people who work, when they go to work, they never even look back. They just keep on their study getting. And one of us ran, if we go to work at 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, we got to have a break. Mm-hmm. Then we just leave them, and then that time on 1 o'clock, you got to have another break before you go home at 3 o'clock. I mean, things just didn't change from what it used to be. If you don't get that, they're going to the foreman, they're on the phone, well, my job too hard or something.
Well, I'll switch up on you here. We'll come to an end. I know I just, showed up here at your door today, but maybe you could tell me a little bit more about Kelso's. That seems like it was a real hub, and it's been a real hub for a long time.
Kelso's been a hub down there for a long time. See, they used to have a mill down there, sawmill. It was three stores down there at Kelso. One there where the mill was at. One on one side and one on the other. But that's where, the biggest portion of the they didn't go to town. That's where they went. It was down at Kelso's. They got the stuff where they had to get and walk on back.
And now those three different stores were three different owners then?
Three different owners. That's exactly what it was.
And now, was that segregated at all, or was there like a store for the black folks?
No. You can go to any store you want, just any store you want.
No, on money, I guess.
As long as you had a piece of money, you could go down and buy. That's just the way it was. You segregated yourself because you didn't have the money.
That's another thing right there that's pretty interesting. You know, now it's like it's all about whether you have money.
If you got the money, if you had the money, you could buy it.
Well, that's the same way it was back then, too.
Yeah, but if you ain't have no money, what you going for? You ain't got no money to buy nothing with.
All right, well, I'm going to ask you, what I want to ask you is, if and when they ever put a little parking area in up there at that Sanders cabin, what would you say to visitors, that were coming along to the parkway? What would you say about the Sanders family? And what would you say about the Peeksville community and about black people in the area? Or people in the area generally?
Well, all the people in the area they always have been good. I mean, the white and the black. I mean, the white, they had a little bit more than the black. Before they lived, all of them, they worked together. I mean, they never was nothing like I said, slaves or nothing like that. Well, let's tell you like it was. The white and the black didn't even want to have much more than the other. It was just hard working. That's just the way it were. Back out then, it was hard work for everybody.
And what about the Peeksville community here? What can you say about the Peeksville community?
Only thing I said, Peeksville community to me is a nice place where to live. I mean, it's nice, always have been, and it's still there.
I tell you, it is beautiful here,
I mean, the people around there, they'll help one another. I mean, the young white, they'll help one another. I was a white neighborhood young that when my sister passed, she'd be a charity before that, they was right here. Bring food and stuff in, it's like that. They always did. I mean, we just neighbors. If one needs something, you just go to the oven. Tell them whatever you need, they'll be there. They'll help you.
So that's going on even to this day, to certain
extent. Just standing time, second day, just like it is.
And what about the Sanders family? What can you say about that family?
They were just a nice family. That was all. Can't nobody sit on Major George Sanders raised. I don't know how many boys is old. I'm as old as that. I think six or seven of them boys. And two girls, I know. Yeah, two girls. Mabel and Catherine. And I think it was six boys or seven boys. And they was a nice family. Well, man, that sounds, he had three children. All of them was a nice family.
Well, thank you so much. I want to turn off
the recording. You're entirely welcome.